The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
If you'd like to be seated. I'd like to say hello and a very warm welcome to everybody today to our service of Holy Communion. And today in our service, we're going to be thinking about the power and the wisdom of the Word of God. That's the theme of our service this morning. And we want to welcome all who are here in the building. We want to welcome all who are joining us at home or on the dial-up. And we're also conscious today that we may have people who are joining us from hospitals and from nursing homes. So wherever you are today, we trust that God's presence and his love will be real and will sustain you as we worship together. I wanted to mention a few notices for the week that is to come. This coming week is the Bishop's Bible Week. It takes place this year in Shankill Parish, Lurgan, from Wednesday evening to Friday evening, each evening at 7:45. There are still some tickets, I think, available for people who would like to attend in person. And there's also the opportunity to attend from your own home as the event will be live streamed. And the details are on our parish website and also on the Down Under Moor website. And this year in the Bishop's Bible Week, the Reverend Mark Aldridge is going to be sharing messages from the book of Jonah. And all are welcome each evening at 7:45 from Wednesday through to Friday. This Thursday evening at 7 o'clock, our own parish prayer meeting takes place over Zoom. And on the 8th of September, we're looking forward to launching our next online Alpha course, and that's a course which helps people to explore the meaning of life. And if anybody would like to be involved, there's just a little video to watch with the details afterwards.
If you've ever wondered if there's more, you're not alone in that. We all explore, every day, in small ways and big. We find ourselves, reinvent ourselves, define ourselves, publish our lives. We find ways to stand out and ways to blend in. We meet people that remind us of us, and people that remind us of who we want to be, and people that just make the journey that much more fun. We connect and share. We learn from each other and grow together. We celebrate and mourn side by side. We push our limits, challenge ourselves, fall down and get back up again. Our days are long and our nights get short. We put in the hours in the hope of building something that lasts. And at the end of the day, find joy in the fleeting things. We want to squeeze all the life out of life and hit pause on moments we wish could last. Put simply, we want to live, and along the way, discover all we can, experience more, and find out who we really are. For all our searching, it's rare to find time to think and talk about the big questions of life, about faith and reason and God and meaning. But exploring is good. We're built for it.
So if you'd like to be involved in our next course, just speak to me after the service or give me a call during the week, and there are email details also on the notices. Our services this morning is the service of Holy Communion, and we pray together as we enter God's presence. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen. And we're going to join together now to sing our opening hymn, the hymn, When All Thy Mercies, O My God.
Thank you.
Hear what our Lord Jesus Christ says. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Lord, have mercy on us, and write these your laws in our hearts. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to intercede for us in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us then confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned in thought and word and deed, and in what we have left undone. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may walk in newness of life to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And in response to God's forgiveness, we stand and we say together, Gloria in excelsis. Glory to God in the highest. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to God's people on earth. Lord God, Heavenly King, Almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory. Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, Lord God, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. You are seated at the right hand of the Father. Receive our prayer. For you alone are the Holy One. You alone are the Lord. You alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in the glory of God the Father. Amen. And our special collect prayer for today, the 13th Sunday after Trinity. Almighty God, who called your church to bear witness that you were in Christ reconciling the world to yourself, help us to proclaim the good news of your love, that all who hear it may be drawn to you through him who was lifted up on the cross and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And if you'd like to be seated for our epistle reading. The epistle is written in the letter according to James in the first chapter, beginning at the 17th verse. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Here ends our epistle reading. The Holy Gospel is written in the Gospel according to St. Mark in the 7th chapter, beginning at the 1st verse. Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ. The Pharisees and some of the teachers of the law who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus and saw some of his disciples eating food with hands that were unclean, that is, unwashed. The Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they give their hands a ceremonial washing, holding to the tradition of the elders. When they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And they observe many other traditions, such as the washing of cups, pitchers, and kettles. So the Pharisees and teachers of the law asked Jesus, "Why don't your disciples live according to the traditions of the elders instead of eating their food with unclean hands?" He replied, "Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites, as it is written, 'These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men.'" This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. We believe in one God. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. And as we prepare to reflect on God's word, that's the theme of our next hymn that we're going to sing together, "Speak, O Lord."
Thank you.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. It's sleek, it's miraculous, it's the greatest one ever. We are inundated by a flood of extravagant claims whenever we surf the television channels or we flip the pages of our magazines. And those messages, they leap out at us. The products assure us that they are new, they're improved, they're fantastic, and they are capable of changing our lives. But talk is cheap, and too often we soon realize that those boasts were hollow and quite far from the truth. And then we also hear stuff like, Jesus is the answer. Believe in God. Follow me to church, and all your problems will be over. You see, Christians too make great claims, but then they're often guilty of belying those claims with their actions, professing to trust God and to be his people. They cling tightly to the world and to its values. And possessing all the right answers, they very often contradict the gospel with their lives, their moral failures, and their lack of love. And with energetic style and with very crisp, well-chosen words, the Apostle James confronts this conflict head-on in his letter, which we heard from today. It's not enough to talk the Christian life. He says we must live it. And he wrote to Jewish Christians who had been scattered right throughout the Mediterranean world because of persecution. And James could see how they were tempted in these hostile surroundings to make all sorts of compromises. But he wanted to encourage Christians to show that genuine faith changes lives. And he gives lots of very practical advice in his letter about how to do this. And the first piece of advice that really struck me in today's epistle reading comes in verse 19, where he says, everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. And when I read those words and when I was preparing for today, they were words that really convicted me. Because imagine if we were to put some sort of monitor or stopwatch on all our conversations. Do we listen more than we speak? I guess the message that we often communicate, often without intending to, is that our ideas are more important than other people's. And so keen are we to put those ideas across that we don't really listen. And if you have ever been really well listened to, you'll know that it's a powerful and a beautiful thing. But yet it's also quite rare to be listened to in that way. Many people are keen to offer their opinions and their advice without staying with the pain and the complexity of what's being shared with them. And we often do people a great disservice by offering inadequate and poorly thought through solutions rather than deeply listening and holding people in the pain or struggle that they're trying to express. And I think that James, too, in this very verse, he's careful to distinguish between man's anger and God's anger. Because quite often, as human beings, we get angry when our ego is bruised or we don't get our way. Rather than get angry at those situations of injustice where God wants us to get angry and to work in his strength to bring about justice in the lives of those who are being badly treated. During the week, I was listening to an amazing podcast in which a 14-year-old autistic girl and her mum shared the frustration of her condition. As she described it herself, she said, "My brain is wired in a different way to other people's brain." And she described how she was never heard or considered as she tried to navigate her way through school and through life, and the intense frustration that that caused, and how often that would work itself out in challenging behavior. And it was a very instructive conversation. And of course, all sorts of people in our world, not just autistic people, don't feel heard or listened to in our world. But can we as Christians, James asks, pay attention to those cries and be a listening and healing ear? As pupils and teachers go back to school, perhaps either this week or for some last week, it got me thinking about the most valuable thing that I ever learned in school, and I still remember to this day. And to be honest, there's not a lot I still remember to this day. But just like everyone else here, I suspect, who went to school, I gained a basic grasp of English and maths. I did a bit of science. I learned a couple of languages. But the thing that I value the most from my school days came about towards the end of my secondary school career, when I was invited, not very willingly, I have to say, to the Scripture Union class that took place once a week in our school. And at that meeting, I was invited to hear the Word of God and to apply it to my daily life, a daily discipline that I've continued to try to practice every day since. You see, James, in this letter that we heard from this morning, he says that it's not enough just to hear the Word of God, but he said we are to be doers of it also. And so I guess we can measure the effectiveness of our Bible study by the effects that it has on our behavior. And here's a challenging question that I was asking myself after I was thinking about these things. Is my life such a manifestation of God's grace that when people see us, they desire to know our Savior also and to experience his life-changing work? And we show the effects of the Word of God on our lives not just by listening to the Word of God, but by loving service to others. And James stresses in this letter looking after widows and orphans in their distress. In the culture of his day, the widows and the orphans were very vulnerable people. They had no economic support. They had no state benefits. And they were left to beg or to sell themselves into slavery or to starve. And it is those practical measures that we take to do what we can to help and to serve those who are most vulnerable that indicates very often that God's word has taken root within us. And James uses a beautiful phrase in these verses where he says, "Humbly accept the word planted in you that can save you." Humbly accept the word planted in you that can save you. And I feel very blessed to have been introduced to that discipline of spending a short time every day with the Word of God and praying for it to influence and to shape my life and character as I read and reflect and pray on it. And that's why at every opportunity I can, I'm really keen to introduce people to Bible reading notes or maybe to apps on your phone like Lectio 365 that will help people to engage meaningfully with Scripture every day. And we also have a terrific opportunity this week with the Bishop's Bible Week to hear really powerful teaching from the book of Jonah, teaching that might influence our journey as Christian people, giving us ideas and techniques from the Bible that can actually transform our daily life and our approach to things. That's also why we're really keen to encourage as many people in the congregation and their friends and families to try our Alpha course online. Because as we encounter Jesus through his word, and indeed through the sacrament this morning of Holy Communion, let me suggest that there's something so attractive, something so precious, something so life-changing for all of us in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus that I believe we could never make a more precious discovery. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, you promised through your Son, Jesus Christ, to hear the prayers of those who ask in faith. And so we pray for your church throughout the world, for this diocese, and for David, our bishop. And we pray especially today for the Bishop's Bible Week, for the Reverend Mark Aldridge as he shares with the diocese from the book of Jonah. And we ask that his words would bring hope, encouragement, and challenge to all who engage with them in this coming week, and that his words would be anointed with your Holy Spirit. We pray for all today who teach and preach from your word, that they would be enabled to share your love and truth and bring change and new life to all who seek you. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for the nations of the world. And today we continue to pray for the situation in Afghanistan. We pray for all those people who have left their homes and fled for safety and refuge from the Taliban. We ask you to be especially close to all who are fearful and anxious. And we pray for wisdom and courage for the international community. We pray also against further acts of terrorism and violence. We also want to pray this morning for the people of Haiti, rebuilding their country after another devastating earthquake. And we pray for agencies on the ground like Christian Aid and Tear Fund and Habitat for Humanity, bringing emergency relief, building fortified homes that would offer protection. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the sick and the poor and those in any kind of trouble. And we remember especially today all pupils and teachers from our congregation just returning to school in the past few days or about to begin this week. We pray too for those about to head away to university for the first time. And we ask that they would all know your peace and presence with them in times of stress or anxiety. We pray too for protection against COVID-19 and sensible approaches to keep people safe as they mix again. We also want to take a moment this morning to pray for any known to us who are ill, in hospital or at home. And we ask for God's healing, love, and protection to surround those who we will remember in the quietness. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful Father, accept these our prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, Our Father. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. We do not presume to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies, we are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table. But you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. Jesus said, A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
And we join together now to sing our next hymn, Jesus, Thou Joy of Loving Hearts.
Thank you.
Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us celebrate the feast. The Lord is here.
His Spirit is with us.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Father, Lord of all creation, we praise you for your goodness and your love. When we turned away, you did not reject us. You came to meet us in your Son, welcomed us as your children, and prepared a table where we might feast with you. In Christ you shared our life, that we might live in him and he in us. He opened wide his arms upon the cross, and with love stronger than death, he made the perfect sacrifice for sin. Lord Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, on the night before you died, you came to table with your friends. Taking bread, you gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Lord Jesus, we bless you. You are the bread of life. At the end of supper, you took the cup of wine, gave thanks and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Lord Jesus, we bless you. You are the true vine. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Dying, you destroyed our death. Rising, you restored our life. Lord Jesus, come in glory. Holy Spirit, giver of life, come upon us now. May this bread and wine be to us the body and blood of our Savior Jesus Christ. As we eat and drink these holy gifts, make us who know our need of grace one in Christ our risen Lord. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Blessed Trinity, with your whole church throughout the world, we offer you this sacrifice of thanks and praise and lift our voice to join the song of heaven, forever praising you and saying, "Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Thanks be to you, our God, for your gift beyond words. Amen, amen, amen." The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ.
We being many are one body, for we all share in the one bread.
Just a little reminder, if you haven't been to church for a while, that when we receive Holy Communion, we invite you to remain in your seat, where you will receive communion through bread only at the present time, following the guidance that we have been given. And so we invite you to receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and to remember that he died for you. Feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving.
God, our Creator, you feed your children with the true manna, the living bread from heaven. Let this holy food sustain us through our earthly pilgrimage until we come to that place where hunger and thirst are no more. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And we pray together, Almighty God. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him, we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you always. Thank you to everyone for sharing in our worship with us today. And as our service draws to a close, we are reminded as we go into this new week that all my hope on God is founded.